One, two, warriors coming for you. Three, four, I got nothing. You are listening to episode number 210 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Rest in peace, Wes Craven.
We miss you, Wes.
To another Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. It kind of sucks because I feel like we're talking about people dying a lot recently, and that really, really sucks. But, you know, before we kick off the show formally, let us, you guys are older than me, so I was not even born when Wes Craven was making movies, but I certainly have felt his legacy, especially with the movie that sort of defined horror movies for my generation in a way, which was Scream. But you guys obviously know him from his older work, but before we get into Marvel stuff, Wes Craven is obviously one of the most, probably next to John Carpenter, who I confused him with, and I feel horrible for doing that. but one of the most, probably a master of modern horror, if you would say. And, you know, he's famous for Nightmare on Elm Street and, of course, the Scream series. My personal favorite is Scream 1 and then Wes Craven's New Nightmare, that sort of meta take.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was such a cool take on Nightmare on Elm Street. And that was when they weren't really making Nightmare on Elm Street movies. That's sort of when, like, Nightmare kind of died away a little bit. Sort of, you know, Freddy kind of faded away to consciousness, but, you know, Freddy's always with us. But you guys want to say something. He's bigger than Freddy Krueger, but he's done a bunch of things. You guys want to say some things about Wes Craven before we officially move on.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, I will say this. It was Wes Craven's new Nightmare. It was Wes Craven that got me into horror movies in general. Because before that, I was just like, oh, good God, another Friday the 13th movie, blah, blah, that kind of thing. I sat down and watched Nightmare on Elm Street one night after I had recorded it off with the Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And I was hooked. I loved it. And the fact that anybody that would tell me that they don't like a movie where they see Johnny Depp get turned into a pool of blood is lying. But that began my really big love affair with horror movies in general. And my personal favorite was probably, you know, aside from Dream Warriors, was Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Because to give it to Wes, he would like to mix the dream world with reality and
dream
how it would affect
Warriors.
And one time I was sitting up at the Student Union back when I was in college doing role-playing, and I'm sitting here reading Fangoria about Wes Craven's New Nightmare, and I had had as a teenager, I'd had a dream where I had had a car wreck, and Freddy Krueger's glove comes out of the steering wheel deal and stabs me in the gut. And I woke up feeling like I had been literally stabbed in the gut. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to take a break for a while. I'm sitting there reading about it, and they're like, yeah, and there's a scene where they're filming Heather's husband's death scene where he dies in a car wreck where Freddy stabs him in the gut. And people around me saw me turn not just pale white. I mean, we're talking lighter than Michael Jackson white pale. That's how pale I got. And they're like, are you okay, dude? I put down the magazine. Yeah, let's go ahead and play something lighthearted like Vampire. But the way he mixed reality and the dreams and stuff on there,
it was seamless.
Wonderful. And Scream, yeah, it was seamless. And it messed with your head. Scream was another one. Loved the first one. The second one wasn't too bad. I mean, it was a little bit overblown, but, you know, it was true to the sequel thing where it's got to be over the top and not as good. And I've not seen Scream 4, so like you, I'm going to have to go back and look for it and watch
it. It's on Netflix, and I know you probably find it. It's been out for 4 years, so you can probably find it cheap now.
I know. Oh, yeah, I'll be able to locate it by various means. But The man was just, I mean, there's a lot of his stuff that I did not see, but the man was just a genius. And, he always had a spot in my heart alongside John Carpenter once I got into the Halloween and stuff like that for just really opening up, horror movies to me that weren't just straight up gore, and actually could have stories and be like the old style. So I'm gonna miss him as he was a one of a kind talent. So there you go.
Does he have anything to say about Wes Craven's passing?
I generally don't pay attention to like directors or writers or producers or anything like that, as I've said before. However, I can say I've never seen. I don't think I've ever sat through his one of his earliest works, The Hills Have Eyes. But one of my personal favorites was The People Under the Stairs. It had Ving Rhames and some other people.
He just remembers Ving Rhames.
Well, and it was Ving Rhames before he was Ving Rhames.
Yeah.
It was him back when he used to curse and what have you. And it had that kid from the Sandlot, running after and trying to
What, the Mexican kid?
no, the
Or the
black
white?
kid.
Oh, okay. I was like,
Um,
you think kid from the Sandlot? I think of the leader Mexican kid. Or
fair
Hispanic,
enough.
whatever.
But it was interesting because I'd seen that kid in a couple things. He was in, what was it, the Mighty Ducks. Still won't remember his freaking name. And yeah, I've seen a good fair my fair share of, the Nightmare on Elm Street films, and I saw 1 to 3 of Scream. After 4, I stopped. Just yeah, no,
There's
it
a
wasn't
Scream
happening.
TV series currently. He was a
Yeah, that
producer.
don't exist. That doesn't exist to me.
Is it that trash? I mean, it's MTV, so I assume it's trash.
I haven't seen it, but I just like I know I'm like
Yeah.
nope.
I don't
But
understand. That would have made sense in 1994, not now.
I have to be honest though, I went to see most of the stuff that he did mostly because I liked horror movies, not because I liked his horror movies. I just being perfectly honest here. But that also said, I did like what I saw for the most part of his work. So, and the way he talks about how his writing in New Nightmare, and he writes the things that he writes because this way it helps protect us from them. I thought that was just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant way of writing. It was a control issue. I thought that was freaking awesome. But unfortunately the man's dead.
Yeah.
Lost his battle with what was it, stomach cancer, I think it
No, it was
was?
brain cancer.
Oh.
Brink it. Wow, even worse for a writer. Jeez,
Yeah.
that sucks. So condolences to the family, and hopefully he's there where the people fly and not where they burn.
Oh, they'd be afraid of him down there. And he'd be like, okay,
You're going
look at
back
the
up.
tools
Going
I
up.
got now.
All right, so we're gonna move on to less somber news. We got some news apparently. Gambit was supposed to be released 2016, next year around this time. Has officially cast its female lead as, I'm gonna butcher her name, so miss, I apologize. Leia or Leia?
Princess
Sidak?
Leia?
No, not Princess Leia. Although I watched, she's in Blues Brothers, she is hot.
Princess Leia?
Well, yeah, the actress, Carrie
Oh,
Fisher.
Carrie Fisher?
Yeah, she
Oh yeah,
freaking,
she was
oh
banging.
my God.
No
I
kidding.
don't remember seeing her like outside of the slave, whatever. This isn't Star Wars, not yet till December. But I'm gonna pronounce this Leia. Leia Sidow, Sidhu? No, Sidhu.
Seattle's
I'm gonna
daughter?
pronounce this Sidhu because it's UX. Leia Sidhu has been offered the part of Belladonna. Badeau in the 2016 film opposite of Channing Tatum in the title role. While it doesn't sound like a completely done deal, it assures appeals to close to do was previously reported as one of three actresses in contention for the part, along with Abby Lee and Rebecca Ferguson. Actresses I don't think either of us have ever heard of, which is fine because we don't really watch. I know I don't watch a lot of TV anymore, so and I don't really keep up with these people. Belladonna was
less about her.
Yeah, Belladonna was created by Scott Lobdell and Jim Lee, and first appeared in 1992's X-Men number 8 Hell Knit issue. She's closely connected with Gambit, with characters knowing each other since childhood and sharing a sequential combination of being both lovers, given her status as a member of the Assassin's Guild. Enemies like Gambit, Belladonna is also a mutant with powers of astral projection and plasma blast. Guarantee she won't have those powers in the movie. Sado will play Madeline Swan. Oh, this is her fucking other movie. She's going to be a Bond girl. Is that still a prestigious thing, being a Bond girl? I know it used to be. Then Halle Berry took the role and it all went down the hill.
No, that's not her fault.
It's not. That's just me.
There's a lot that you can lay at her feet, but
not that one.
No, she was actually a highlight of that movie.
Was she? Okay, yeah. I've never seen it. That's the one Pierce Brosnan Bond movie I haven't seen.
That's also the only chocolate chick that's been in a Bond girl in a Bond movie. So you know.
Yeah. No, there was a chocolate chick back in Never
Say Die.
Yeah, Never Say Die. Or Live
How
and
do
Let
I
Die.
Know that? I've never seen the movie. I don't
Live and Let
know.
Die.
Was that Roger Moore?
Yeah,
or was
that's probably why nobody paid attention. Why nobody paid attention. no disrespect to Roger Moore, but like everybody loves Sean Connery. All right, but how do we feel about Belladonna being in Gambit? So don't care.
I'm kind of that's the same way I am.
I don't even know. I knew
it should be Rogue.
That's what I'm saying. It should be get Anna Paquin. Get her ass. Literally, get her ass because her ass is beautiful. In freaking there. Like just get her. It's a shared universe, right?
Yeah.
Get Rogue like that. Like, if there's one thing anybody knows about X-Men comics, is Wolverine's a badass, or at least he is. He used to be. Wolverine's a badass, and the sort of will they, won't they of Gambit and Rogue, kind of thing. Like that's the thing. That's the thing, and I don't understand why they don't just have Anna Paquin show up. For some fucking reason, she has to go to Louisiana. She doesn't have to be the main plot, but she could also give a X-Men cameo that could actually make sense. You know, like having I don't know, Omega Red or somebody. I don't know who's in this. Do we know if any other mutants are in this movie besides?
I have no clue.
Besides Gambit and now officially Belladonna.
Haven't heard.
All right. I mean, neither have I. That's why I'm curious. So if you get Anna Paquin in there as, you know, the love interest as Rogue, as the new woman coming to town, but like, and Gambit's and you know whatever. I still don't see the appeal of a Gambit solo movie. But it should be Rogue. I think we all agree it should be Rogue who should be fighting and loving alongside, you know, Gambit. Tell me, Sugar. That's the one thing I know about the animated series is Gambit sexually harassing Rogue every moment he got, but also that the fact that she genuinely likes him as a guy, you know, like that relationship. Why aren't they together in the comics again? What is Gambit's deal? I don't even know what happened the last time with Gambit. Is he even relevant anymore?
Nah, yeah, I mean,
I don't know. I haven't
done for the most part.
I don't read X-Men.
Okay,
know,
I mean, I've been reading X-Men and I haven't heard shit from Gambit. I know he doesn't have that same the design he had, but whatever. So let us know. I guess we're going to move on because nobody else wants to talk about her. What you think about Belladonna being the lead female role, and do you think they should just simply forget her and put Anna Paquin in the movie and just have Rogue and Gambit in the movie because that's how it should
be. I'll put it this way. Uh-huh. If they have her, Belladonna, in the same – they could do the same background story that they have with them, fine, but I don't care all that much. It wouldn't be the same – as if they had, you know, Anna Paquin / Rogue mm-hmm. in the same role with the same kind of relationship, you know, with the we really like each other, but I can't really touch you, that kind of bullcrap.
Oh,
yeah.
Here, I can kind of enjoy it because
they can touch each other.
Yeah, she's gonna want him, but because he's thieves and she's assassin, and because he'll have left her. She'll be pissed at him.
Oh, for leaving
exactly.
Rogue.
So,
but Rogue doesn't even
they
have
do it differently.
Yeah,
but
Rogue doesn't even have that much of a southern accent in the movies, so.
Oh, right, but that's because that's one of the things that they want to move away from. It's just like,
but that's what makes Rogue charming. She's a southern belle.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying Wolverine doesn't have his Australian Canadian accent.
That doesn't make no sense. That makes no sense. For fuck that cartoon. That cartoon is stupid.
There's a lot of things that they drop because, you know, it's Fox and they just want to make the money off of the characters.
Yeah.
But if they keep the whole antagonistic dynamic working with them, fine. As long as it's not like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I love you, please come back to me. I don't want that. I want her to hate him and him to, you know, punk her at every opportunity because he's smarter than her. That's what I want. And if they give me that, great. You know, other than that, I could give two shits about her.
Yeah. I mean, I figured they'd be focusing on the Thieves Guild, but I remember that. I remember in the animated series, that was the episode I cared about the least when Gambit was by himself.
I'm like, actually, yeah, same here.
I'm like, really? Gambit? Nobody? Gambit! And apparently they want Gambit to be like the next Hugh Jackman when Hugh Jackman dies. They want Gambit to be in everything. Yeah. I'm like,
well, you know, people on Gambit's dick when...
in the 90s, but it's proven that, like, he's not anywhere outside of this. This movie is, like, the biggest news he's had.
So that's it's just like the Roman Reigns effect or something?
Kinda, well, yeah. No. They liked him.
Because when the movies came out, Wolverine.
And well, that, well again, it was in the in, I can attest to this that in the 90s when I was a kid, the two things we are yeah when I was a kid when we were kids we argued who are you gonna be, Cyclops not Cyclops Wolverine or Gambit, and if you were the sad kid you got to play Cyclops because nobody likes Cyclops, and that was the argument. I don't like Gambit. I can't, like, anytime I've watched, like, X-Men Evolution or even the Wolverine and the X-Men, Gambit's, like, there, like, two episodes and he's gone. Like, he's not there. He's not a constant anymore. Wolverine is there because he's a constant. So I don't feel like, I think people who dick ride Gambit are people my age, and even I'm over Gambit. Like, I got over Gambit when I was 15. Like, he was cool with the kinetic card in Marvel vs. Capcom. You know, that's about it. But he lost his, excuse my friends, his je ne sais quoi. Years ago, so I don't believe Gambit deserves much. But let's move on to apparently there's a Civil War movie coming out, guys. And no, not another horrible. And there's been leaks. We've seen photos, and we're not going to talk about them too much because I generally want to remain spoiler free as I can be. Plus, I also want to see it in full like HD. You know. That kind of thing. But recently, Marvel has officially released promo images for the fighting teams for Captain America Civil War or Avengers 2.5. So for team, and you can look at these at thegreenlanternquote.com or any fucking Marvel website or any other comic website. For Team Iron Man, we have a new design for Iron Man, it seems, going with the more heroic age slash bleeding edge look. For Team Iron Man, God, I feel like I'm talking about a Survivor Series pay-per-view. John can sympathize with me. We got War Machine, of course, that makes sense. We got T'Challa, which is a little weird that T'Challa would be sided with Tony, but whatever. We got Tony Stark, of course. We got the surprise, you know, the person who shows up at the last second. Black Widow is on Team Iron Man, which is really odd considering her relationship with her closeness with Captain America. And, of course, newcomer Rocky Maivia, I mean, The Vision, joining in on Team Iron Man. Only wrestling fans will get that reference. So we got Team Iron Man, which is Black Panther, Vision, not Scarlet Witch, Black Widow, War Machine, and of course leading the helm is Iron Man himself. For Team Captain America, we have Bird Squad, a.k.a. The Falcon, and the Hawkeye, who has a more traditional purplish costume, it looks like. Also, on spotting on Hawkeye's shoulder, yes, that is Ant-Man, which I hilariously like that he was right on the shoulder, and a lot of people missed him. And of course, Falcon, I mentioned, and Winter Soldier looking still wearing that Soviet Red Star. I love it. And Captain America leading the team himself, along with not the Scarlet Witch, what people thought was going to be in the movie, but in fact, Captain America's girlfriend in the comics who eventually killed him, Sharon Carter. So there we have our roster, our team. The battle lines have been drawn. What do we think? Taser, I know you don't care, but go ahead and go.
Okay, can we call Iron Man's group Team Overkill?
Doesn't that say Iron Man in a nutshell? Yeah, go ahead.
I just think that here they're making the battle lines, guys with a lot of stuff, versus guys with not so much stuff.
It's
nowhere
the,
near
cause,
anywhere
cause
near
we
as
need
much
us
stuff.
we need to sympathize with Cap. They're gonna do this.
But I get that. But what I don't know, it just seems like, you know, somebody kinda looked at who they could work with, you know, which characters they could work with in the movies, and then just kind of went, you know, like second grade and said, okay, I'm gonna put all the guys with the powers here and I'll put all the people without abilities here. Yay, I done did it, made a decision. You know, I mean, this is something that a kindergartner could have come up with. I mean, there's no... Civil War was supposed to be about ideals. And I mean, really, this doesn't even look like that. It doesn't look like that at all. I'm actually disappointed with the way that, you know, they picked this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's annoying.
I would have figured... T'Challa would have sided. Granted,
we don't know about T'Challa.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was about to say. Granted, we don't know anything about this T'Challa.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I wouldn't go there.
But it just seems the more surprising is that Natasha's siding with Tony, and I want to know why.
Actually, I'll agree with that.
That's surprising. Like, why is she siding with Tony?
Unless she's working undercover.
Could be, and she like it's an Ultimates thing where she's going to shoot Jarvis in the head.
That would be fucking hilarious.
I mean, Vision.
Wait a minute. That would be Vision then.
Yeah, technically, yeah.
So then
we're gonna get.
Know,
we're
unless
gonna get,
she used a vibranium bullet.
Well, she could. I mean, she could just steal it from T'Challa, I guess.
Sure.
Cap's roster makes relatively most sense, but I feel like Cap will find a way to punk them all because they're gonna have him do. It's his movie. I wonder how bad they're going to let Captain America be. What I want in Civil War, and I haven't said this before, but in Civil War number 3, which is Taser's going to review that issue later, not the same Civil War number 3, but when they're fighting in that factory and Tony just punches the shit out of Steve and you see like the mask fly off and the teeth and the blood, I want that recreated. Maybe not, like it won't be as graphic, but I want to see Tony punch the shit out of Steve. I want to see these two get into it. By the way, I'm on Team Iron Man because I fucking love Robert Downey Jr. So, yeah. I'm on Team Iron Man.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, John, what do you think about the promotional offer, Team Iron Man, Team Captain America?
I'm kind of surprised by the way they've done those because I would be more thinking that a Black Panther would be more on Cap's side. But then again, we don't really know how they're going to be doing Civil War in this because it's going to be obviously different from the comics. But the lineups were just kind of like, yeah, like Taser said, it's like all the people with the big toys on one side and the poor folk are on the other side. And, you know, it just, I don't know, but it'll be a kick to see them. And it'll be nice to see the first appearance of the MCU version of Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think that he's going to be the, you know.
The mole?
Yeah, I would love to see him be the mole. And
it would be a callback to Ultimates 3 where Cap was Black Panther for
Black
some
Panther.
Stupid reason.
But only this, but in this way, it would actually be good and understanding,
yes.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to choose a team, I'd have to say Team Iron Man simply because, you know, I'm a big War Machine fan and Iron Man fan too. But, you know, it's just, but like you, I have to consider this Avengers 2.5, not a proper Captain America.
That's what I really want to know is like how they're gonna frame this, because this is what people. The thing is, it's funny in that I hate to cut you off, John.
Oh, you're fine.
But like when Avengers happened, I remember people being annoyed that like, well, why isn't Hawkeye in Iron Man 3 or Cap or anything, or why isn't this, why isn't that? And now we're getting that, and now people are like, there's too many characters. I'm like, I'm not complaining that there's too many characters, but I just find it's the nature of the internet and the nature of people to flip-flop sometimes. Not everybody, but that like we're getting an integrated universe where they're showing up in each other's movies now. But, you know, you can't please everybody is the moniker.
Yeah. I'm just gonna say that I'm just gonna wait and see, and then when it comes out in the theater, I'll be too busy going.
I think we all will be. That whole from December to fucking May, we'll all be.
Yeah, especially when Deadpool comes out. And see, that would be a kicker. But that would be funny as if somehow Deadpool made an appearance. That would be funny as hell. But I know that it's Fox and all that shit. But still,
yeah. Oh, they're not
I can
on good
dream.
terms at all. That relationship is
No.
dead. All right. So let us know. Anything, final thoughts on Team Iron Man, Team Captain America, promotional art?
No.
What about you? What do you guys think about the lack of Scarlet Witch in this movie? Because that disturbs me.
I'm actually disturbed by how they truncated her abilities. So her non-inclusion or supposed non-inclusion in this, I don't miss it at all. I want to see what role Spider-Man plays.
Yeah,
That's
that's what I was
there's a
wondering.
there's a there's a there's a funny picture on the internet where it's J.K. Simmons's spy Jonas J J
JJJ.
JJ and he goes and
Yeah.
he sees the pictures, crap, crap, mega crap.
Yeah.
Get me pictures of Spider-Man. Seriously, Sony, do I don't fucking care if this is a reboot. Get fucking J.K. Simmons to fucking play Jameson. Just nobody can do it better. And you need Jameson. I want to see Jameson. I want to see that Jonah, J. Jonah Jameson. I want to see him rip on Tony, maybe, and praise the shit out of Cap, and then ultimately not praise Cap because Cap is a traitor to the country. I want to see that. J.K.
Yeah, that would be cool.
J.K. Simmons is perfect. And I'm sure he would do it. I'm sure he would. I hope so.
It
Come on,
looked
let's
like he
get.
enjoyed the hell out of
Yeah, of
it.
course. It was like J.K. I mean, like we've talked about before, but it was literally like as if Jonah stepped out of the comic book, and that's him, body, character, and everything. And he would be perfect in the MCU. All right, but let's move on to one final thing concerning female characters because we love talking about female characters. Apparently, there's a new Blade. And it's a female. I think it's the daughter of Blade. That has a comic accordingly. Bleeding Cool has previously reported that the newly to be launched, I don't even know, it's not out, it doesn't come out until the Marvel reboot happens, featuring the daughter of Blade has been delayed. So it's not coming out in October. I understand from well-connected sources that this is due to careful concern from high above the food chain that the character in the comics are suddenly considered extremely important by the bean counters and the multimedia folk. Because the plan is that this is the new Blade will be the one that features in the next Blade movie. Sorry, Wesley Snipes. You still owe us taxes. The first successful movie based on a Marvel comic book, Wesley Snipes was an unexpected hit, spawned two sequels, and resurrected and remade the vampire-hunting, day-walking killer within the Marvel Universe. Except it didn't, because this fucking series can't last more than 12 issues. There has been so much talk
True that.
of new Blade films, given the most recent success of many Marvel movies, and that the rights have returned to Marvel, and Wesley Snipes has been talking about returning to the character with Marvel. Could it be more as a fatherly figure? Not like Blade. I know Taser, I'm gonna let you go first because you fucking love Blade. You talk.
I love Blade. Blade is the first successful Marvel movie franchise, even if it wasn't part of the, Marvel Films Productions post Disney suck up, whatever the fuck. Blade kicked ass. Blade was a movie you went into, it was like,
It's a
yeah,
decent
woo,
movie.
and it had Kirsten and Tracy Lords, and it had Wesley Snipes at the height of his badassness. I'm saying it, Blade was an awesome fucking movie, and it's still, I'm gonna say it's still number one of those Civil War is needling it. Civil War, I mean not Civil War, Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier is really pushing at Blade One. Blade Two, as much as I like Blade Two, Civil War, fucking hell.
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier slides in on top of it, But and don't get me wrong, I don't care that his child's a girl. Could give two rats ass. I just don't care about having to watch him deal with family issues. I don't give a fuck. As a matter of fact, I saw him deal with the young trainee offspring, whatever the fuck, in Blade 3 with Abigail and fucking Hannibal King. I don't care about helpers. I don't want to see that. What I want is to see is Blade fuck everything up. That's it. That's all you need to give me. That's all I want. I don't want, even if she's like a badass, I still don't want that.
You want Blade.
I want Blade. I don't
He
want
wants
Blade and daughter. Or Blade
Blade, my brother.
family. Yeah, I want Blade. Some motherfuckers always gotta ice skate uphill. And that's these motherfuckers over there at Disney. Fuck them. Give me Blade and nobody else, damn it. Damn it. Damn it. Damn, damn, damn. Anyway.
I personally think the writers full of shit, and that they didn't resurrect Blade in the Marvel at all. He was in a game or two, but that was about it. Like I mentioned, his comic series, the one time I can remember he actually had one, it lasted 12 issues and it got canceled.
There was also the TV show that apparently was actually building an audience. But because the audience it was building were female,
they didn't like that. Well, it was Spike TV, that's why.
Yeah, but you got to stop and think about it. If it was building an audience, even if the audience is female, they were still liking what they were seeing.
Yeah.
So, that had to be one of the dumbest reasons to cancel a TV show.
It's Spike. It's Spike TV.
So fucking morons. But I didn't watch it. Because I didn't want to see what's his name from fucking Onyx. I give a rat's ass about him. Screw him. And I also didn't want to watch Blade the TV show.
Yeah, you
want Blade to watch. TV show was just not going to give me my Blade. My Blade cuts motherfuckers and curses and is a badass.
If I ever do a Blade commentary, I'll invite you. We'll sit down and watch Blade together. Do Blade marathon. All right, but I don't know when we're gonna get to that though. I remember being awed by Blade as a kid. Like the black. It was before Matrix. I think I saw it before Matrix. So like the black.
Came out just right before Matrix.
Yeah, the black leather and then like the vampire shit. They under everywhere. We don't mention the third horrible movie because that movie just sucks.
The first Blade had that opener in that club where Tracy Lords brings that unsuspecting guy thinking that he done score with the hot chick and really he was the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
And you had that what was it? I think it was Ghostface Killah, I think. Mm-hmm. That did the soundtrack for that.
Yeah.
And it opens up with that. And it was just it was a beautifully done scene, the blood dripping, everybody just caught it and turning feral on him, and he has no idea what the fuck's going on until they all get shook because fucking Wesley Snipes done stepped in. And then it's just a...
I remember the sword fights from Blade One. They were fucking
And that's
awesome.
Called... That choreography was tight. I mean, that was better than most of the other martial arts movies that was done for an American production for like the last 15 years. And you're talking to somebody that watched a lot of cheap, horrible bullshit American martial arts movies. Blade was gorgeous when it came to its fights because they actually used people who knew how to fight and they had really good choreographers,
They knew how to tell a story with fighting.
Yeah.
It sounds easy, but it's not. See a lot of martial arts movies. But let us know what you guys think about Blade, about the new Blade, Femme Blade, as I'm going to call her. Even though I know people are going to hate that, but that's what she is. And what do you think about Wesley Snipes just coming in? Because we're not under. If this was Fox, maybe we're not going to get a rated R Blade movie. We're not. It's fucking Disney. We're not going to get that shit. We're not. If we do, it'll be like T2R, not T1R.
Or like T2R, the final,
wasn't bad, but...
or PG-13, final PG-13 of the final Doom Rick and shit in the abysmal.
The what one?
When Doom started blowing people's heads up in the in that reboot. And I'm just saying.
All right, didn't they fight Dracula in the third movie?
Yes.
Was that Dracula?
It was what's his name from Flash that played Dracula? The
Prison Break.
Yeah.
Okay.
Played a Heat Wave.
Yeah. That was
Triple H with the dog.
Yeah, I remember Triple H.
No, but you know what? I will give credit. I absolutely loved Ryan Reynolds as Hannibal King.
Well, I think that was
a bright spot.
Yeah, that and Jessica Alba, but she's pretty.
Parker Posey was in her too.
Yeah. No, Jessica Biel.
Yes. Yeah,
Jessica Biel, not right. Alba.
And Parker Posey as whatever the hell, and him calling her a raging thunder cunt.
Yeah.
That insult just resounds within me. I'm still to this day, I haven't found anybody that I could use that on, but I so want to because it's
day.
a beautiful fucking insult.
One day. All right, well, let's move on to individual reviews. Thankfully, we're still in Battle World, people. But I'm going to cover something that happens before Battle World, yes.
Woohoo!
So recently Marvel has been doing these Last Days books, which are basically the last adventure before the universe basically ends. They did a couple of them before it happened. You would think these books would have came out before Secret Wars happened, but nope. So here we are with Last Days of Ant-Man number one. Now, if you've heard me for the past 6 months, eight months, I've been loving the new Ant-Man series, and it's currently on hiatus until the new number one comes out in October, and I can't wait for it. I've been in love with this. And then, so basically, this is Ant-Man number one. Opens up with Ant-Man being squished by a fat dude. Not even kidding. Like, literally, he's just squashed. And it all sort of centers around that the woman beneficiary. Okay, that's what I was thinking. Basically, wants money. Like, I'm not seeing anything from this. You're not getting anything. And Scott Lang typically making the jokes as he's been since then. And apparently something has been lost. So she lost something in a. She doesn't tell him this, but in a. It's some kind of gambling match, and she doesn't want to admit it. So she sends Scott to this what's his name? He's a fat guy. It's the comic says his name. The slug, aka Ulysses Lugman, very like a second-rate kingpin. He's like really fat, like really obese. And so Ant-Man retrieves, it's a very simple plot at first. Ant-Man retrieves the thing from it. And it's interesting because at the beginning of the series, the only reason Ant-Man even has she's backing the money is because Ant-Man stopped a giant Nazi robot made out of gold that escaped her bank. So it kind of leads, like, wait a minute. And then the fact that she also has this Asgardian relic, which is what she was trying to get back. She has this Asgardian relic. And so something's clearly up with her. And she reveals to Ant-Man that she was Miss Patriot, Captain America's sidekick. Not that Captain America, another Captain America. And so she gives a little bit of a backstory, and she's been housed she also owns a retirement home, and it turns out this retirement home is filled with Golden Age superheroes that nobody really remembers. And what this Asgardian trinket does, it basically gives them their youth back for a limited amount of time. And so basically the sort of the last half of it is her giving these people back their powers back. And she does it because and you're wondering, how does this connect to Secret Wars? Well, your connection to Secret Wars is that she does this because her power apparently is that anytime she makes a prediction, it's always right. So she knows she made a prediction that the world's going to end, and so she's never been wrong. She predicted the Kennedy assassination. She predicted the bombing. She predicted all these things, and she's never been wrong. So she gave these Golden Age superheroes one last night, presumably to remember their golden years, and it's very sentimental. And so that ends that little story. And then Scott realizing, like, kind of bringing, like, the world's going to end. Holy fuck, the world's going to end. So what does he do? He goes, sees Cassie. His wife being the bitch that she is, because I'm not going to lie, she is I get that Scott's not exactly the most responsible father, but, like she's just unrelenting in her, like, kneeing him that he's not a good person, not a good man, not a good father. And so unfortunately, Cassie's not there. She's in overtrip in Atlanta. So on the last few hours that Earth has to live, Scott can't even see his daughter. Partially to him. And he even admits he deserved that. So he goes to a club, and who does he run into but the Beetle? And, of course, when it's the last night on town, last night on the Earth, what do? You sleep with a supervillain. So the last page is so great because he wakes up, sleeping next to the Beetle, apologizing to Captain America in his head. And so she basically like tells him, you weren't that bad, but I'm better, and you haven't had better than me. And she says, I may actually call you. And then the last few panels are great because it's like, that I think about it, maybe not so bad if the world end. And it just ends on EN, and then the next page is white. So literally, you see Scott Lang die after having sex with the Beetle. So yeah,
Huh.
it was hilarious because he's like, I don't think I want to be here. And then the world ends. Just comically. True to the series. If you wanted a sample, like if you missed out on the Ant-Man series that was going on before this, this is the same creative team and everything too. So, and you missed those 6 issues, and seven because there was an annual that dealt with the whole Ultron, Scott, Hank Pym becoming Ultron shit. Spoilers. This is a very good, I would say this is a very good one-shot primer to understand what you're getting into with the series, with some new things, including that the Beetle is gonna the new female Beetle is going to be his booty call, which is interesting. So
That's saying that whole thing survives.
well, that they've already released promotional art, and he's in it along with some of the people he's met with in this series and her. So it looks like it's
Okay.
continuing. So it looks like it's continuing, which I'm glad. So if you want a primer for Ant-Man and you missed those first six, this is a really good like look into it. And here you'll get a good decide. You'll get a good gauge on whether you'll like it or not. It's one and done. You don't need to be reading Secret Wars to understand this. That literally it ends right before Secret Wars begins. And it didn't like and I'm kind of glad most of this was not centered around the ending of the world. It was just Scott being Scott, living his life, and just, all of a sudden, hey, the world's over. Nothing you can do about it. And, Golden Age superheroes. I give it a 3 out of 5. It wasn't my favorite issue of the run. It made me laugh. It had some sentimental moments, but that last panel really got me. I just couldn't stop laughing for a while. Just maybe the world wouldn't be so bad if, after realizing you just had sex with a super villain, and now she's probably gonna not leave you alone. So yeah. Now we're going to go to John with the final issue or second to last issue
No, it's actually the last issue, issue four of
of.
Kung Master of Kung Fu.
Take it away, Johnny.
Hang on one
What's
second.
up?
What's up? It's done by Black Metalogic, Sudoku, and Mirva on the cover. But when we last ended, you saw Iron Fist standing over, getting ready to fight Shang-Chi. Beginning of the issue, you see the quote-unquote cosmic origin of Shang-Chi, at least is what his father claims to have said what it was. And you see him being raised, showing how much he didn't wasn't loved by his father, and blah blah blah. And it shows the different clans behind him. And as we've mentioned, all the different variations of the clans before, I see one for the Punisher in there. So that kind of makes me wonder if they have a Punisher clan. That would be funny. But then Shang-Chi is like saying, oh, you can believe that. And more likely, he just doesn't want to recall which of his many concubines, spawned me. And gets into a fight with Sai, Red Sai, and Iron Fist. And Iron Fist is like, no, you will not go and sit on the throne, murderer. And they fight. And Sai gets in and grazes him with a, in the face with Sai. And, Iron Fist can't fight, can't defeat him. And then all of a sudden, Shang-Chi starts falling over, and you find out that Red Sai has poisoned him. And it's Elektra, as we've kind of figured. Yeah, it was Elektra. But, you find out that it wasn't Shang-Chi that killed Iron Fist Master. It was Elektra herself. But Shang-Chi had sacrificed his honor to, that way she could have her honor. And then Iron Fist is like standing there and just like, I don't know, I just, Kitty Pryde standing over him crying. And then all of a sudden Iron Fist is like, well, I got to do, while I wouldn't save him personally, I would do anything for Kunlun. So he does the whole, Iron Fist, healing and heals him up. And, he's like, and then Iron Fist is like, why? And he's like, well, because I know you're right. Only you can overthrow Zhang Su. And, Red Sai, would get killed for letting Shang-Chi leave the chamber. So she goes ahead and gives him his headband, for his head, to show proof that he defeated her. And they go to the 13th chamber, and you see it, and it's, you have father, son, and they both start fighting, doing all the different variations. I swore I was hearing Mortal Kombat in the back of my head when I was reading this. It was just kind of funny. But you see all the different methods they're using, and Shang-Chi looks like he's getting his ass whooped, and then the Mandarin's going, "I taught you, but except one move, the spectral touch." And tries to put his hand through him, but then Shang-Chi goes, "Well, you didn't teach me everything I know. I learned a lot from my students." He becomes intangible. Like Kid Rock.
Nice.
Yeah. And then from there, he just starts whipping the shit out of Mandarin. Uses the, with the control of over the Ten Rings, but the power, he cuts him with the heart, with the hands of the Mortal Blade. Uses Nightbringer to shape weapons. Uses the flame and freezing to shock him, and then he uses the shocking palm, a tornado move, and he just kicking the crap out of him. And then the Mandarin's like, "No, I will not lose to you, and you cannot defeat me." And as soon as he grabs him by the throat and holds him up, Shang-Chi touches him on the forehead and goes, there's a new ring, one that I alone have discovered. I call it the Gorgon's Eye, and he turns him to stone.
Nee, nee, nee.
Yeah.
Fatality.
Yeah. And he's like, "Goodbye, father." And he comes out and he's like, it ends the happy ending. And you see them coming out and the soul of all the great masters saluting them, and all that. And they're like, "Well, what now, Emperor?" And he's like, "Well, a drink, a nap, and then we train." And it says for Bruce and is signed by the creators. This is one of the most surprising titles that I've read through the whole Battle World stuff. I highly recommend it for anybody. When they do the trades, pick this up. It 4 out of 5, solid entertainment. And if you like the Mortal Kombat or Hong Kong style of martial arts, fight scenes and stuff, then I highly recommend it, because you can tell they absolutely loved the genre. And seeing the alternate takes on everybody was hilarious. And I've been enjoying this one, and believe it or not, Ghost Racers have been my two biggest surprises out of the whole Secret Wars Battle World ties. I have thoroughly enjoyed those more than I would the ones that I'm supposed to enjoy. And I'll just leave it at that. And take it away, Taser.
I don't have to.
If that's a big wants you to, I don't know. I'm just...
Bloody hell. Okay. Anyway, Civil War III. So when we last left off, our heroes from the blue were storming someplace in the
last
Iron.
Last time on Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, right? They were storming a base in the Iron to get some parts for Hank's new device called the Bell Curve, which takes powers from people as punishment because... Yeah, the Sandman was bad, and he was a dumbass, and he had to get his powers taken. So, yeah, but we need more stuff. So, where do we go? Off to the Iron. And we had a team of, was it Elektra, Asari, Spider-Man, and Clint as Venom, which I had actually forgotten, and it wasn't until this issue that it just kind of reminded me that that had happened. And Elektra got taken out. Woohoo! Fuck Elektra. And they're fighting basically a bunch of Stark-built Sentinels, which,
ooh.
Yeah, that is something to be kind of concerned about. But they manage to take a turn of tables, and then they make their way inside. Meanwhile, Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk, as everybody knows, managed to infiltrate the blue from the Iron, and she's trying to find... she's on the trail of the person who killed her friend, the woman who was trying to broker that peace deal between Steve and Tony. And she got to the gates, and unfortunately she got to the gates kind of later than scheduled. So because it was late and because it was unscheduled, she had to go through one final screening, an extra layer of screening process, which was Charles Xavier. Now, she wasn't in her regular green form. She was back down to Jennifer Walters mode and had given herself a mohawk. And, you know, most people don't really know Jennifer Walters. They know She-Hulk, but Charles Xavier. So she went and she submitted herself to scanning, and Charles went, I'm seeing this is kind of interesting. Okay. Let her through. And I swear to you, the explanation was this. I'm in, Tony. I had to get past the brain scan from Xavier, though. So the rumors, dead on. Lawyers learn to believe things even if they aren't strictly true. It's how you work with clients you know are guilty. I believe my cover story about as much as anyone could. Even so, Xavier should have been able to see right through me. He's not at full strength, nowhere near. Almost sad. He seemed so old. I swear to God, that's the bullshit that they used to get her past that. I almost wanted to stop reading it.
Right that now. Was bullshit.
Yeah, I almost wanted to stop reading right there. But the thing that kind of let it slide is Xavier looks at her like, what the fuck is she doing here? Well, let's see what happens. He looks like he's figured her out, but he wants to know what she's, you know, what's going on here. So she manages to do the infiltration thing, and, you know, everybody's letting it go past about a business, and, you know, it's really too concerned with her, except for somebody who recognizes her. So she makes her way to her target, come to find out it's Bullseye. And Bullseye has been in communications with somebody. But before she could take and try to snatch him or anything, she gets caught by dun-dun-dun, Speedball, who's, like, older and got, like, a beard and long blonde hair and shit. And he's apparently part of the Punishers. So because Jennifer Walters had she had been his lawyer for the surviving New Warrior. Well, actually him.
Because they're all dead in this universe.
Right. So she was his lawyer in her human guise.
Well, they would
guise.
Be dead in the main Marvel universe too, right? Yeah. So they all died.
They died too. They died there too.
Except Thrasher. He was somehow still alive. Remember that thing?
No, that was another. That was his brother.
Oh, okay. That was his brother. Thought it was him.
Never mind. Got it. Yeah. So he knew what Jennifer Walters looked like normally. So he followed her. He's a part of the Punishers, and he apparently put the call in. But Jen, you know, she shifted forms, and, you know, she kind of tossed him, and he went bing, 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 ricochet, stop, dead. But he had already put in the call in for the, you know, for reinforcements. And she's on the run, and she's talking to Tony, and she's telling him, yeah, it's Bullseye, but there's also one other thing. And then she gets hit by a big blast. And she's gone. And we see, who was it? It looked like might have been T'Challa's sister. You know, it was either that or Cassie Batgirl. You know, one of the two.
Yeah, it was T'Challa's sister, which you're about to get to the huge reveal of this issue.
Yeah, there was a nice big reveal in this issue.
Spoil it.
And also Gambit.
Speaking of the asshole.
Yeah, it was Gambit. It was T'Challa's sister, Gambit, and somebody whom I'm just gonna assume was Frank Castle in armor. You know? They tracked Jen to a certain spot, but she disappeared. Moving back on over to the Iron, Spider-Man and the crew that's left, they managed to get into the facility, and you come to find out that it's being run by not Wilson Fisk, not Doc Ock, but Doc Ock's arms on Wilson Fisk's corpse.
What the?
Because apparently, in this scenario, Wilson Fisk apparently secretly he lusted after Doc Ock's arms, and he ended up having Doc Ock killed, and he took the arms off. But the arms being, you know, fully sentient or whatever it is. Yeah, you know, I don't know if they changed his origin after that second Spider-Man movie came out, but apparently when he put the arms on, they sent, 20,000 volts directly into his brain?
Jesus.
Which killed him immediately, but they needed a host. So the arms are operating on their own with a dead Kingpin, and Tony Stark went and said, "Hey, I'll make you a deal. I'll keep you over here. You'll be free from everybody, and you make stuff for me." So deal done. And the tech that McCoy needs for the bell curve device is all in this facility, being run by a dead cyborg, which is just really, really disturbing. So they end up getting into a fight, and Peter is mostly useless here, and Clint comes up with the win by taking Elektra's billy clubs, which was likely Matt's billy clubs, and basically firing the thing right through Fisk's head, which, kills the cyborg, everything shuts down, and we're free to go, la 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 la. So they finish everything up. They get back over to the blue.
We got a train station, and we got an alarm clock.
Yeah, right. They get over to the blue and they hand over everything, and then you come to find out that Peter is really burnt out. I think Peter is getting to that point where he just does not care. And Jennifer, we come to find out, she wakes up and she's being held by somebody who died 6 years ago.
Who is that masked man?
T'Challa!
What?
Along with Bullseye. Somehow or other, T'Challa pulled the wool over everybody's head, and he looks
death.
Like he's in, I don't know, is he in the blue, or is, maybe he's still over there?
I think he's in the iron, because that's where they captured, that's where she... That's, no,
no
she's,
she was in the blue.
Yes, yeah, so they must be in... Or maybe he's in somewhere else and he just moved.
Maybe he's in. Maybe he's back in.
Wakanda.
Number 42.
Oh, in the negative zone. Yeah.
Yeah, N42. He might be there because that's the big facility. It looks like they're holding her. So I don't know, but all I can say is next issue is I think the last.
Yeah.
That ought to be really interesting. This was actually a good issue. I've been enjoying this. Like D to the P said on the boards. I've been enjoying this what if, amongst all the other what ifs, this has been my favorite read so far. I would give this a 4.2 Warriors out of 5. It's worth it. I'd say when this comes out in trade, it's worth picking up.
Oh wow! So a lot That's of cool. secret wow for one, Secret Wars positiveness all the way around,
yeah.
For tie-ins at least. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Mighty Warriors 3
no!
podcast. I have a lot of shit to plug, so sit back and listen. Tomorrow, tonight, launches Metal Gear Solid 5, the Phantom Pain. So,
In a world
where Kojima doesn't make video games anymore for Konami, because fuck Konami. tomorrow night, Mr. Dragon and I, at either 9 or 10 p.m.
Central.
Local Central Standard Time. I was going to say the time. Too.
Okay.
So 10 p.m. 9 to 8 to 10 p.m. 8 or 8 between the hours. at 8 Central Standard Time. Dragon and I will begin our quest, and we will begin our live stream of Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, also known as the last true Metal Gear Solid game that will ever come out. Because without Kojima, there is no Metal Gear. So if you're interested in Metal Gear, or you just like me and hearing my marvelous voice, for I am the marvelous one, come along, we'll have a good time. If you also like more of me, head over to youtube.com/... YouTube.com/user/MarvelousIggy for my recent playthroughs of The Legend of Zelda, The Minish Cap, Metroid, Zero Mission, and Golden Sun that I'm doing, my RPG game that I'm doing with my best friend, Mr. Dragon. If you want to watch any of those live, because I live stream all of those, you can head over to twitch.tv/Iggy2814. Green Lantern fans, if you don't remember that, you fail. Iggy2814. So head over there for that. Also, speaking of Green Lantern, segue, I also write for the GreenLanternCorps.com, in which case you can catch my reviews on Green Lantern, The Omega Men, Green Lantern Lost Army, Justice League, And I think one more. I think that's it, actually. Oh, Earth 2. I keep forgetting about that book exists until it comes out. So check out those reviews. I write them. They come out weekly. Check those out as well. Also, marvelousiggy.wordpress.com for new commentaries. The commentary that's live as of this recording, The Warriors. So come out and play for a new commentary. And get hyped because we're already hyping Star Wars, the
so
Star Wars
hype.
Marathon. So there you go. You guys have anything to say before we conclude the show?
Oh, yeah, we already said that we would be reviewing
Force
the...
Awakens?
Yeah.
Oh, of course we are. Of course we are.
Yes.
That'll be the last show we do of 2015.
Woo-hoo. 16 Fridays until the...
Is it that close?
16 Fridays.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
16 Fridays.
The countdown begins. John, you have anything to say before we go?
Other than that, I want to plug Haley Atwell. Not much.
Woo!
I'm going to... but on the serious side, I'm keep saying this, but I'm going to try to get my vlog back up and running and all that jazz. I will... Yeah, I know. But once I actually get a couple of things under the belt and edited and put together, I will actually... do the actual proper, you know, plugging.
You mean
so
once
you,
you get all those, all the hamsters to fit into their wheels?
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Get the hay bales strawed together and, you know, fire off the rabid wombats to chase the hamsters in order to get the Wi-Fi to go. Yeah.
There we go.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. As always, subscribe to us on iTunes and let us tweet out, you know, tweet out Facebook. I'm going to just call him Facebook Manager Taser because that's what he does. He manages Favorite. That thing like a boss. I don't know because he tells me that. So it could just be a mess, and I don't know because I don't go on Facebook. But check us out on Facebook and always check Twitter at Warriors3PCast for new updates on the show. So with that being said, we will see you all next week for another thrilling episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Maybe with more Boston next time.
Yes. Or less cream pie, we never know.
Two reds come.